Waitress, my bill, please.
Certainly, sir. There you are.
There you go. All right. Say, just a minute. There must be a mistake here. It can't possibly be 37 and 6.
It is, sir.
But I only had fish and chips.
That's right, sir. The price of fish and chips today is 35 shillings.
He's preposterous. It's the manager.
Very good, sir.
Good morning, sir. Is something the matter?
I should think there is. What's the meaning of charging 35 shillings for fish and chips?
Well, I'm afraid we couldn't obtain our normal supplies of plaice cod or rock salmon.
No?
So the fish today is a rather expensive delicacy from abroad.
That is an excerpt from Dear Octopus. Another in our series, A Play to Remember, which may also help you to forget the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those with a strong disposition, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Midgley Woodruff, Ada Lollobrigida, the Staffordshire Potteries Chamber Music Ensemble, Eustace Formaldehyde, Miss Prunella Parasol.
She's a shady character.
To continue, Sir Humphrey Staccato, Dame Edith Ann Field, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, a show that has been compared favorably with the weather forecast. And here now is our own show forecast. Douglas, please.
The outlook for the next 30 minutes is as follows. Mainly dull, with bright patches here and there, occasional drivel, and isolated laughs from a scattered shot.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Smith. Well, now, let me tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Tuesday, I attended a concert at the Festival Hall to hear a performance of a brand new work by Nasrallah Parmenter, extremely popular composer. From his pen came such things as ink. He's also well known for his adaptation of the trumpet voluntary to strings. And possesses a very rare instrument which sounds like this. And now you will know why it's very rare. And actually, it's quite a dangerous instrument and must never be played during the mating season. On one occasion at the Festival Hall, during a fugue, a whole flock of lesser-spotted grudge hawks flew in and delivered a protest. Right on Nasrallah Parmenter. The particular piece he was responsible for on Tuesday was a concerto for orchestra and mouth violin. Now, there are very few people who play the mouth violin, except Mavis Trubwhistle. Another piece he was responsible for. However, coming to Thursday. On Thursday evening, I'd been spending the evening with friends and arrived home around about 10:30. When I turned the key in the lock, well, I didn't know what I was letting myself in for. Funny, the door won't open. Prudence.
Go away, you horrible monster!
Open this door.
That will do you no good. I've barricaded the door. You can't get in.
What's the matter with you, Prudence? Good heavens, you haven't got your boyfriend round again?
Whoever you are, go away. Go on. Get back to outer space.
Prudence, open this door. It's me, Kenneth Horne.
Oh. Is it really you, Mr. Horne?
Of course it is. Now, Prudence, whatever's got into you?
Oh, I'm ever so sorry, Mr. Horne. I've been scared out of me wits. It was that thing I've been watching on television. Oh, it was horrible and terrifying, sir.
Prudence, I've told you before not to watch Jukebox Jury.
It wasn't that, sir. It was the play. Fire, friction. affliction it was, sir. Not suitable for people of a nervous disposition. That's what they said before.
Then why did you watch it?
I didn't know I had one until afterwards. Oh, sir, you should have seen... Ah! Ah! Oh, look out the window. It's one of them.
Prudence. Those are my pajamas on the washing line.
Oh, dear.
Now, look, just calm down and tell me all about it.
All right, sir. Well, it was called the fantastic heat. And, oh, sir, that music!
My name is Peter Calthrop. My wife Sally and I came down from London and opened a pub in a quiet little village of Burbleberry. It was a pretty uneventful life. Until one day last summer.
Here you are, Mr. Dingle. A pint of best ale.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my word, it's warm, isn't it?
Our beer always is.
Oh, oh dear, Peter. Oh. I don't think I've ever known it so hot.
Oh, I don't know. Remember that week in Brighton?
Yes, but I'm talking about the weather.
Good evening, all. Good evening.
Oh, it's our local author. Hello, Gavin. Written any good books lately?
Oh, no, it's too hot to work. My thermometer says 110 degrees.
Oh, well, our thermometer says 108 degrees.
Then you're 2 degrees under.
Oh. Hello. Looks like a stranger to the village.
Good evening. Could I have a room, please?
Oh, we're rather full. I could manage something if you don't mind sleeping with the...
All right. No silly jokes about where I sleep. I'm not a commercial traveler.
Very well. Have you a suitcase?
No, but I do have some rather expensive technical equipment which I'd like treated with care.
Well, you're not from television, are you? Because, personally, I get my things whiter.
My dear madam, I happen to be a scientist.
Oh, that's interesting. May I buy you a drink, sir?
Thank you. I'll have half a pint of ferrodicarbazole magnesium acetate.
Well, I'm awfully sorry, sir. This is not a free house.
Oh, here. Oh, this heat. It's getting unbearable.
Yes, it's almost uncanny.
Oh, I think there's something funny going on.
Well, it certainly isn't the script.
Well, it ain't never been as hot as this in Burberry. And may no one believe me, but this very morning, I was down by old Barnaby's meadow, and I seen him with me own eyes.
Well, that's nothing new, these courting couples over
there. No, this was something I'd never seen before. Just near old Barnaby's house it were. Flying saucers.
Oh, yes, old Barnaby and his wife having another row.
That's a strange object that landed in the field, I tell you.
Set him on fire, Clark, you fools. Go on, ma'am. Tell us, what happened?
Well, it was even hotter than now when the object landed. The lid opened and...
Oh, go on, out with it.
Horrible it were. A great giant insect.
Good grief. Look at the thermometer. It's 120.
Peter, I'm frightened.
Now look, if there's anything unusual going on, the BBC will know about it. Switch the wireless on, Sally.
Right.
Chanted lady, 5-4 on fifth. Oh, blast. Now here's the result of the misshapely legs of Hampstead contest. The winner is number 19.
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster.
They've got me by the waist, a great big groping tentacle. Oh,
Peter, really?
Well, personally, I don't believe a word of this nonsense.
Oh, no? Look at the temperature now. 140. What you people don't understand is these are monster insects controlled by radio, and they generate a heat of thousands of degrees centigrade.
But what use is that?
Well, it might come in handy for making toast, I suppose.
This landing is probably an advance party to prepare for a major invasion.
Oh, no.
It's getting hotter.
Yes, who knows? There might even be a thing in here.
There is, actually. It's upstairs, first on.
Ah.
Now, look here. If what you say is true, we must do something.
Where's the phone?
There.
The phone. Ah, here. Good. Then what if Whitehall would have been... Whitehall would have been alerted by now. Speak to the minister. Hello? The Hugh Ridgway, please. Hanford here. Scientific advisor. Hello? Hello?
Sir Hugh Ridgway here.
Hello, Sir Hugh. Has the terrible news reached you yet?
Yes. 28 for 2, death for sure.
No, sir. I mean the invasion of England by giant electricity generating monsters. Hello, sir. They could wipe us all out.
Oh, don't worry, old boy. Cadre is banning at number 4.
Sir, invaded by monsters.
What sort?
Electricity generating insects. You must do something.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hannaford. It's not my opinion. Try the electricity authority.
Hello. Oh, bother. They can't help.
What? Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? I can't stand it. Do you hear me? I can't stand it. I can't. It's going to be the end of all. Oh, no, don't you can't. What are we going to do?
Sally, it won't do any good acting like this.
Oh, I don't know. The drama department might be listening.
I'll get in touch with Scotland Yard. Hello.
What's the matter?
Oh, no. The line's been cut.
I'm not surprised. It was pretty filthy.
Look here. Why don't one of us nip down to the local police station?
Don't be a fool. It's not safe with those things outside.
It's the only way. I'll go. Now, where's my equipment? Gentlemen, this is a television walkie-talkie. Not only can I keep in touch with you, but you can watch my progress on this small screen.
Now, be careful of the things, Hannaford.
All right, but if they should happen to get me...
Yes?
Well, it'll be just one of those things.
There. The picture's on the television screen now.
I'm getting into a car now. The road is clear ahead. The heat is intense. Ah, going past the post office. It's getting hotter. There's the churchyard on the left. There seems to be something ahead of me. I can't quite see.
What is it? There's nothing on the screen.
Great Scott, yes, it's ahead of me now. Can't you see it?
No, no. The screen's gone blank.
Wait a minute. There's something coming on.
You feel okay, you start the day with butter's porridge flakes.
Just listen. They don't make a sound.
Porridge flakes.
And now, part two.
Oh, it's ghastly. I've never seen anything like...
Oh, good heavens, the set's gone dead.
Whatever he saw must have been pretty terrible.
Perhaps it was the squire's wife.
Oh, Peter, I'm scared half to death. What on earth are we going to do now?
Listen. There's something coming.
The door handle's turning.
All right, everybody, back against the wall.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's incredible. A double-headed insect monster from outer space.
I've never seen anything so ghastly.
Come here.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry if I frighten you.
You filthy beast!
Oh, no, don't be like that.
Oh, you're hideous.
Well, two heads are better than one.
What are you doing here?
Well, I just popped down from another planet.
Is this the start of a mass invasion?
No, Coot. Now, I only come down to ask a question of the Earth people.
Well, we are the Earth people. What do you want of us?
Well, I was just wondering.
Yes?
Do you think we could borrow half a cup of sugar?
And this week, we present a close-up on sport.
Well, first of all, let's talk to a well-known cricket umpire... Mr. Stanley Birkinshaw. Glad to have you with us, sir.
Oh, the pleasure's mine, I assure you.
Yeah. You've umpired quite a lot of matches, I suppose.
Oh, yes, indeed, yes, I have. Surrey versus Sussex. Essex versus the MCC. South Africans versus Worcester. All sorts.
Yes. And you're always there at the wicket to see fair play.
Yes, that is so, yes, indeed. I scrutinise every aspect of the match. Of course, I'm supposed to observe strict impartiality, but I must confess that on one occasion I did whisper some advice to Peter May.
Really? What was that?
I said, if you want to stop Subber Rose scoring any more sixes, take Statham off and substitute a slow-off spinner. And just as a youngster, they had to stop play.
Why was that?
So the wicket would have a chance to dry out.
And now here's another gentleman. What's your sport, sir?
Well, I simply adore a game of water polo. Because I don't get the chance to play enough.
Why not?
My horse isn't too keen, you know.
Now then, here's one of the leading tennis stars. Madam, what do you think of your chances?
Yeah, I definitely think I shall capture Wimbledon this year.
You're a really good player, then.
No, but I've got the most gorgeous pair of silly panties.
Well, that's what counts. Yes. Well, now to the Olympic Games, which once more are to be held this year. We're privileged to have with us the familiar figure who carries the burning torch into the arena. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. Good evening to you. And I'm very honored.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure you are.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, sir.
Oh, yes.
So you're the one, are you?
I am, sir. Yeah, yes. That is me, yes. They bring me out of retirement every 4 years, you know.
Yes, I see. Yes. And how long have you been doing it?
35 years.
How long?
35 years. Ah, yes. And I'll be there again this year, trotting round the arena, wearing me same old shorts and running vest. And carrying that flaming thing around.
Now tell me, sir.
Flaming torch,
yes.
I can.
You do you? Would you tell me, with your vast experience now, what do you think will happen at the Olympic Games?
I will confidently predict one of the biggest shocks there has been for years.
Oh, I see. You've got some inside information there.
No, I've got a dirty grey hole in my shorts.
Well, now then, sports. At one time, riding was a somewhat exclusive pursuit, pretty well confined to the country set. But now even the Londoner can enjoy riding at such places as Hampstead Heath.
Hello, Rodney.
You like to tally hair, Charles. I said, never new riding habit you've got on.
Brand new, Rodney. It's absolutely dolly, isn't it?
Very contemporary. What a novel idea. A taffeta breeches.
Actually, it's my own design. I call them London breeches.
Why?
Always falling down.
There you are, a wag.
Hello, Rod. It's almost time you had some new gear, you know. Your riding whip's a bit dirty.
I've had been a poor crop this year. Oh, well, come on. It's a lovely day for a ride.
Isn't it? I say, shall we make a race of it, Rod?
Oh, fabulous. Loser buys the drink.
Righty-ho.
Yes.
Get ready.
Yes.
Set. Go. Oh,
come on, boy. Come on.
Come on. I do wish these donkeys would go a bit faster.
Oh, Mary, you're so busy.
Hold your carrot a bit further.
Oh, I'm kidding you. It's
Well, there can't be many of us who don't enjoy a nice swim now and again, but very few of us are capable of indulging in such a sport as high diving. We've got something of a surprise for you now. Something of a surprise. So over to our own commentator, Cecil Snape.
Well, hello, listeners.
This is Cecil Snaith speaking to you from a well-known indoor swimming pool. The surprise that was mentioned by Mr. Horn just now is that I myself was high-diving champion of my college at university. Yes, I've been in some dives in my... Of course, it's been quite a while since I actually done any fancy diving, but the BBC persuaded me to convince listeners that there is at least one thing I can do properly. So I'm standing now on the top springboard, clad, not unnaturally, in my shark skin bathing trunks. I just thought I'd slip that in, as this isn't television. Well, the dive I shall attempt is a double reverse back somersault and two half turns. A feat only possible on an extra springy diving board. So, listeners, here I go. Little Snaith from the shallow end, returning you to the studio.
Now let us turn to perhaps the most widely appreciated sport, football. And even if you're not fortunate enough to watch a really serious game of football, like the Show Business 11, then no doubt you support your own home team. And at any match they play, you can be sure of hearing the loyal and ever-devoted fan.
Go on, Billy. I'll sit, lad. Make circles round him. Oh, he's a grand player, is Billy. Oh, this team will be nothing without him. I'm telling you, worth every penny of the money to pay for him. Look at him now. Look at him. He's got the ball again. Go on, Billy. Show him how it's done. Go on. What? He's passed one man. Two men. Just watch him now. That's it, Billy. He's got past another one. Go on, lad. Shoot. Go on. Shoot. It's an open goal. Shoot, Billy.
He missed.
Put that right idiot on the transfer list. They shouldn't have bought him in the first place. It's ridiculous.
There you are. There'll be another Horner Armour next week when the subject will be Turkish bath attendants. Are they highly esteemed? Or are they just old sweats? Also in next week's program, there'll be a rather quiet report from the Noise Abatement Society, and we shall be bringing you excerpts from the Electricity Board brochure just to provide a little light reading. And we'll be going over to see the Military Tattoo on Agatha Winkleberry. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. Are Russians who write in block letters capitalists? Good night.